This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 18th of September. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvis Martin White.
You're out of breath.
I am.
Wait, where have you been?
I had to run downstairs.
Pete and I aren't out of breath, are we, Pete?
No, well, we're fitter. We're fitter, young men.
We are fitter. We're younger, definitely.
Mm, absolutely.
We've had another tweet.
Everyone's younger than me.
I don't know what's going on with Twitter today, but it's almost like everybody has woken up to Twitter.
Mm.
So we've had a tweet from The Right Event, and right. That's at Right Event Kent on the Twitter.
Right.
They say, hi, at Vanilla Web, hashtag BBunker. Yes, please, Paul, we'd love a shout-out for our Westmorling-based team-building and corporate events business, The Right Event, and that's therightevent.co.uk. And there's a brilliant picture of 5 very, very happy-looking people on quad bikes tearing through the Westmorling countryside.
Mm.
So that does look like an awful lot of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep going. I'm actually in the middle of apologising at the moment.
You're not still on the Alexa nonsense, are you?
No.
I think this is about the car.
This yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Digital in Kent.
Hmm.
It's on Thursday, the 18th of October, from 9 a.m. to 3:30 this year. It's at the Quarter House in Folkestone, which I think is probably a new venue for Digital again.
Oh, no, we did do one there before, about 2-3 years ago.
Okay, yep. But it's certainly a very thriving digital kind of media environment down there. So it's titled Achieve Digital Marketing Success. With plenty of networking opportunities, it's the perfect place to build a professional network, find business partners, generate new ideas, and learn. So you can get inspired. There's all sorts of keynote speakers and talks on the day. And you need to book on, obviously. And it is digitalinkent.co.uk, the website. So book yourselves on for that. I'm not quite sure how much the tickets are. They're normally about £50 or something for Digital in Kent.
I'm not sure they're even that.
Not that even much. That.
So yeah, maybe, I think it's about 37. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's a good day.
Yeah. So it's all things digital, and it's happening on Thursday, the 18th of October, in Folkestone.
Fantastic. I don't know if you've mentioned it, but I think you've got an email about it, but I've had a tweet about it as well, so we'll do both, which is Chimps and Tricks. And Chimps and Tricks is a charity event that's taking place on the 19th of October, and it's taking place at Port Lim, and it's in aid of the Aspinall's Foundation, Megafauna Project. And they're basically raising money to do work in Africa with rehousing mandrills and some chimps and other animals back into the wild in their native countries in Africa. It follows on from an event that was run last year, which is Gorillas and Gowns, which is a massive success. So Amanda Flanders of Butterflies Business Events is staging this. Every single penny goes to the Aspinall Foundation. It's taking place on the 19th of October. It's a super glitzy, glamorous event with loads of entertainment. There's three close-up magicians. There's Jason Alan Sway and his swing band, and there's also Ace Casinos running casino tables. It's £50 a ticket. That includes some food. And it's a brilliant event. So do come along to it, and you can book a table as well.
There'll be a chance to bid for some auction prizes.
There's going to be an auction, and the auction worked really well last year because they had a good auctioneer.
Oh, who was that?
Oh, it was me. I sold
got
everything.
Told off because apparently, do you remember I bid for a scarf?
Yeah.
I think there was a
designer scarf.
Yep. And I got one, and apparently I was bidding against Gemma. Is it Gemma Edwards, who was the VIP celebrity?
Yeah, Gemma Collins.
Gemma Collins,
yeah.
On the night.
Yeah.
And apparently she got the ump, and she left after that, because
I outbid her for a scarf. Oh, no. You should have flogged it to her.
Yeah, afterwards. But what we also did, apart from coming away with a beautiful scarf, was come away with two enormous giraffes.
Absolutely.
But actually, we couldn't take them away, clearly.
They wouldn't wrap them, would they?
They wouldn't fit in the back of the car.
Hmm.
So we had to leave them there. But what you get as part of that prize is a giraffe experience. So you can go into the giraffe house.
And feed the giraffe.
And feed the giraffe. And I think they've just had a new baby.
They have indeed. Oh, they have indeed.
So it is a great night. I mean, it's a wonderful venue. And you'll have an awful lot of fun.
There's loads of auction prizes. And there's some really special ones as well. for those of you that don't know Port Lim, there's lots of different places to stay, actually, on the Safari Park. And their newest place is Wolf Lodge, and there is a Wolf Lodge experience up for auction as well. If you go to the Butterflies and Dreams business, Butterflies Business Events website, I'm not sure if it's up yet. Amanda will tell us in a minute, I'm sure. But sometime soon, there will be a list of all the auction prizes, and you can actually bid for the auction prizes, even if you can't manage to get to the event.
And it also includes your food on the night. So yeah. Chives Caterers, who do beautiful food, are providing all the catering on the night. Tickets are just £55 per person. Or if you have a table of six, it's just £50 per person. So that actually is a real bargain, isn't it? For a great diner.
And there's some sponsorship packages available as well. So if you want to bring a table, you actually get sponsorship as part of the table deal. And Amanda's telling me that the full list of auction prizes will be up on butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/chimpsandtricks by the end of this week. But we're still getting the auction prizes coming in, which is what's taking the time. But there's some fantastic things there, as there were last year. Cool.
Great.
What you got?
I've got a random tweet from Paws Radio.
Right.
And it just says, lool. Whatever that means.
So it's what?
Lool. L-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-L.
Right.
I think it must mean lol.
I think he does. Maybe his keyboard got stuck.
His keyboard got stuck.
Technology.
try talking into your, whatever it's called. Mm. Your thingy.
Cool.
Good.
Should we talk to a guest?
Let's do that.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Well, I think we should do Karin, because Karin is the lady in the house.
She is, indeed.
And, so welcome, Karin. It's Karin Snoke.
Thank you. Well done.
How did he do with that, Karin?
Yeah, pretty good.
Near enough?
Yeah, nearly fluent Dutch.
from the Mercure Dartford Brands Hatch Hotel and Spa.
Yes.
Not the shortest name for a hotel.
No, but we'd like to keep people on their toes, you know?
But we've got that correct, haven't we?
We do, yeah.
So, in other words, you're also a spa.
We are, yes.
So you have
full
a
leisure and spa
swimming
facilities.
Pool and
sauna, steam room,
sauna,
treatment rooms.
Lovely. Okay.
Yes, jacuzzi.
And just remind us, you are situated at the main gate for Brands Hatch motor racing circuit itself, aren't you?
Yeah, literally next door. You can't get any closer.
Right. So does that mean you get an awful lot of people staying at the hotel that are attending track days or visitors to events? Or?
Yes, especially over the weekends when the main track events are on. But even during the weekdays, because they do other events and they do the race experience. So, it keeps us busy.
So it's fair to say there's a bit of a motor racing theme at the hotel, isn't there?
Yes, we like to, incorporate all the local information around. So, the hotel, we had a refurbishment in 2016. So all our bedrooms, you'll see a race theme in there. We've got our racing bar, which I believe Martin has been to enjoyed very much.
I have, and you've got a motorbike in there, haven't you? Sitting
we
on
have
top
a motorbike.
Of the bar or something.
And now that just crashed.
Did you catch it? It came straight through the wall.
Yeah, it came off McLaren at too fast a lick and went straight through the wall. And they just thought, that's a nice feature, we'll leave that.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
But the bedrooms are themed as well, aren't they? I seem to remember that on the headboard.
We've got the speedometer on there, so it's all themed.
Yeah, very appropriate, yes.
Over 70, over.
Yeah, okay. Not too fast, not too slow.
It's actually interesting. Many years ago, I used to own a motor racing team.
Okay.
And we raced all over Europe, and Brands Hatch is one of the only circuits that actually has a hotel right there, which was always a great benefit for people coming down from all over the rest of the country and around Europe to be able to stay almost on the circuit.
Yeah, it's so close. You don't have to drive.
You can walk. You park your car and you just walk into the circuit. Yeah. It is that close. And it's one of the few tracks where there is actually somewhere to stay relatively close to the track, unless you sleep in a tent or something.
Yes, but
yeah, but, you know.
But, yeah. What can we
but
say?
Not everybody is a motor racing bore like you and me, Paul.
Are they not?
No.
Why?
Well, they're just not.
Why?
Because that's
life.
What's
the matter with them?
But the hotel has something for everybody. I think that's
it does.
We do.
That's the key thing as well. Now, you also do, I mean, clearly you do business business conferences as well.
We've got 9 meeting rooms, right. The largest being De Havilland, up to 350 delegates, theatre style. I think it's one of the biggest in the area, actually. It's also gone, we had the refurbishment done in there in 2016, so it's all new. It's got a bar in there as well, so for any dinners and events. And then we have smaller meeting rooms. Well, if you want to have a meeting on your own, that's no problem, but...
Paul does that quite often, don't he?
Oh, I do, yeah.
He sits there on his own. Yeah. Nobody argues with him. That's what he likes about.
Oh, no, they do. Oh, no, they do.
He just gets lots of abuse on the Twitter. So, and I know you've got a special promotion on for Day Delegates at the moment. Is that right, running till the end of November, is it?
Yeah, so it's for October and November. Mm-hmm. We offer Day Delegate packages, so that includes your teas and coffees, lunch, meeting room hire, and some audiovisual equipment. And it's £28 at the moment. Right. So it's very good.
I mean, I can't imagine where you would be able to hire. I mean, if you went to a local coffee shop, it would probably cost you more than that in coffee, even if they did let you stay all day, wouldn't it?
So, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So very reasonable. I mean, what we are doing, of course, with all of this is we're putting off the dreaded C word.
I was just going to say.
I mean, we're building up to it, but we didn't want to kind of
gird in our loins.
We didn't want to just go straight
looking at the watch and going, it's still September, you know.
Yeah.
But I think now that we are in September...
But you know, I mean, Amanda, who runs Butterflies Business Friends, was saying this the other day, that you've got to talk about it now, because now's when you have to start booking things.
Yep.
Otherwise, the things that you want have gone.
Yes, yeah? Definitely.
So, you know, although a lot of us go, oh, no, not Christmas already, surely not, you actually do have to start thinking about it now.
You do.
So, I'll tell you what, Karen.
Sorry, did you just mention the C word then?
No.
Is it?
You misheard me.
Is it now out in the open?
Yeah.
We can now... You've mentioned it, so we can talk about it.
I'm sure I didn't say it.
Okay. So tell us, what's happening for Christmas at the Mercure? Now that Paul's mentioned it.
So for the festive celebrations...
Yes. I like what you did there.
Festive celebrations.
We've got a variety of packages actually going on. We've got our Christmas party package, which is your rifle drink and then your meal, half a bottle of wine and then the DJ. So we do that on our Fridays and Saturdays. On Thursdays, we've got a buffet with the DJ as well. And then we also do a Sunday special. So we actually have one Sunday in December where we do a $9.99 special, because for everyone who needs to
$9.99.
That's $9.99.
That's under a tenner.
Per person, yes. Under a tenner.
And not to be confused with $9.99. No. That's not the idea, is it? That you end up calling an ambulance because you've had too much to drink.
Please don't, no.
No, so it's £9.99.
£9.99 per person. It's some party food and then the DJ, so it's great for anyone who needs to work on the other days during December, because many businesses are also very busy.
Or if you're like Paul and you generally work on your own because no one will work with him.
Exactly.
You can take yourself along and meet other people.
Definitely, yeah. You can use it like a networking event.
Yeah, excellent. Have you got that, Paul?
Yep.
Yeah, you're going.
I was just ignoring you, Martin. I was just completely ignoring you. He's been rude to me all day today, hasn't he?
So what we're talking about here is you can join a kind of a big group of people and join their party on a buffet, kind of quite basic level for $9.99, or you can join other tables of business owners and staff, for example, as a kind of joint party. But I guess you could have your own party as well if you wanted.
Yeah, definitely. So we have two function rooms we use for Christmas, the largest one being up to 250. So for any of the larger businesses, they could hire out a hall room. They've got the bar in there as well. And that's, we could do any kind of package, but the standard packages we publicise in our brochure are the one with a rifle drink and then a three-course plated meal, half a bottle of wine and the DJ. So you've got everything sorted and then the bar's open, depending on whether the company wants to pay for the drinks or your own drinks, however you want.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened to me last year?
You ended up paying for all the drinks.
No, I always pay for all the drinks, obviously. No, I rang the office and I went, do you know what, it's December already. We haven't organised a Christmas party. We're going to be really difficult with this. And they went, it was last week.
You had the bill?
I went, who paid? And they went, you did. And I went, I didn't know. And they went, no, we didn't invite you.
That's not very nice, is it?
It's not nice, is it? I don't even know where it was. Yeah.
Good. So you won't be going this year either, then?
Apparently not, no.
Good. Brilliant.
I've attended one of the those events at the Mercure. It was a couple of years ago where you get lots and lots of businesses.
Yes.
And you do a Christmas do. And I, one of the things that's so nice about that is you... It's a completely different atmosphere from when you've only got sort of like half a dozen people in your business. And it's great, you know, you wear a party hat, you do a Christmas, you know, party popper and whatever. But it's always a little bit flat. But when you've got a much bigger group of people, yeah. you get something more from that atmosphere, lots of it.
More of a party atmosphere, isn't it? Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great for the smaller businesses. It's very popular. And we take tables from, you know, four or five people onwards to bigger numbers, but yeah, our donor parties are very popular. It's a great atmosphere.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
That's good. So you've got all of that happening over the festive period,
yes,
as you say.
Yes, 98 days to the main festive day.
So you do Christmas lunch as well for anybody that doesn't want to cook at home. Presumably,
yes.
You're open for Christmas dinner, aren't you?
Yeah,
as well?
We open every day of the year, so we do a Christmas lunch, traditional Christmas lunch, for anyone who doesn't want to cook or do the dishes, for that matter.
Yeah.
It's very.
I've always aspired to actually doing that one year. You know, just saying, you know, to hell with it. Just me and my wife, just the two of us, going out for dinner. But I haven't quite had the courage to.
Well, you know where I work, you know. You're always more than welcome.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I've done that a number of times over the years. I've had Christmas Day out, just going out for Christmas lunch somewhere, or in fact going away for the whole 3 or 4 days and staying in a hotel somewhere and enjoying lunch. And actually, it's pretty good. And it actually works out normally cheaper than doing it at home. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you imagine all the groceries and everything,
you know,
else.
And all
the
of the hassle and buy, you know, the thing I hate about, I always used to cook Christmas dinner for everybody, you know, 15 people. I don't mind doing the cooking. It was the shopping that used to drive me nuts, trying to get all the Brussels sprouts and lard and all kinds of nonsense that you have to get.
It's the washing up. It's the washing up afterwards, isn't it? It's like, all you want to do is sit down and watch the Queen's speech on the TV, and then you go, hold on a second, there's a mountain of washing up to do, and there's only so much will go in a dishwasher.
Exactly, yeah. And people are queuing up for the next lot of food as well, and they've got nothing to eat it off of. Yeah, exactly. No, it's actually a good deal.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I think that's definitely the future.
I think you ought to book at Brands Hatch.
Yeah, I mean, that was actually going to be one of my questions. So, I mean, being situated where you are, you're obviously really convenient for kind of, you know, all the kind of major transport routes, the M25 and the M20 and the M2 and people from London, obviously, as well. Do you tend to find your kind of, your catchment is quite local on that level, or do people come from further afield to...
For Christmas Day, it tends to be quite local, and people drive in. I've got a big car park around the hotel. It's free, so it's very easy. And then in terms of Christmas party, they come further afield, London companies, and they stay the night.
Right.
So obviously we have the rooms as well, so they make a overnight stay from it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Have you ever held an event at the Mercure up in Dartford?
I have, actually.
With your motor racing kind of days?
No.
And
excuse me, no, I haven't held a motor racing event there. I've had sponsors stay at the hotel while we were racing there. But in fact, back in the day, I've used the Brands Hatch Hotel about five times to stage job fairs and big events. But not in the last few years, because I haven't been doing them in the last few years. But yes, I've run quite a few events there.
So that's the other thing to think about, I guess. You know, you are really a kind of an all-round, just kind of event centre, aren't you?
Before Karen answers that, one of the benefits of doing things there is it has very easy transport links by road. Yeah, it's easy to get to. There's a huge car park. And if you turn left rather than turning right on the way out, you do go round and round in circles. But apart from that, there's also the fact that people like it because it is at the circuit. Mm. And even during the week when it's not a race day, there's always someone there practicing or, you know, shaking down a car or a bike or a truck or whatever. There's always something to watch. Mm. So it was always one of our most popular venues when we were running B2B events and job fairs. We always got a lot of take-up there because of where it was and how easy it was to get to and what was there when you were there.
Yeah, definitely. And especially during the week, you often are allowed to walk on the track, on the circuit, it just gives it a whole different aspect.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're part of, obviously, the Mercure
We are, group, yes.
Which is a massive group of companies,
yes,
isn't
yeah.
it?
We've got over 4,500 hotels worldwide.
Wow.
Is it part of Accor?
It is, yeah. yes. Yeah. So we've got Novotel, Ibis, Sofitel.
So that's a French company, am I right?
Yeah,
thinking?
Originally French. They right. were mm-hmm. the first actually in Paris to open a hotel room with an ensuite bathroom.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, and everyone thought they were crazy.
All right, okay.
And look where we are now.
And do they, is that a Formula One or Formula Un or whatever they're called? Are they part of that network
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, Formula One is, yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, so it's also part.
So you cover sort of all kind of ends of the spectrum from kind of, you know, cheap and cheerful,
yes,
50
yeah.
euros a night, whatever it is in a formal one,
yeah,
all the way up to
Raffles.
Raffles.
And every, yeah, it's huge.
Gosh. So
Raffles in Singapore.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that one of yours?
Yeah, we get every week I get another memo with something else, which has joined our group. I can't keep up with it sometimes, you know.
I love Raffles Hotel in Singapore.
I've actually stayed in an Formula One hotel in France because I got caught in a snowstorm in northern France, and that was the only place I could find to stay, which was interesting.
Yes.
And I've actually stayed at Raffles too.
Well, there you are. You've seen the whole variety.
So I've done the whole range. Yeah.
No, you just need to come to us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I've been to your hotel loads of times. I've never stayed there, though. Yeah.
That's interesting because it brings me on to another point. So is there a loyalty card that kind of ties all of this network together in some way?
Yeah, we do.
So if I stay at your hotel, for example, can I get my points, which I can then use for a free night at the Raffles Singapore if I do it often enough or whatever?
Yeah, so we have our loyalty program. It's called Le Club.
Right.
And you can join. Anyone can join. You get a discount on our online pricing for bedrooms straight away, whatever level you're on.
Mm-hmm.
So members get a different price. And then you build up your points and you move levels. So there's different levels within the loyalty scheme. And you get different awards and like upgrades, free drinks. And it depends also which brand you stay with. But that's across. So it doesn't matter whether you stay in an Ibis or, you know, in Sofitel, you get your points for it.
That's a really interesting point, isn't it? Because, you know, with the likes of Whitbread's hotel chain, what are they called? Name escapes me. Lenny Henry advertises. Premier Inn.
Oh, yes. Premier Inn, yeah.
So, you know, with the likes of Premier Inn, people think, you know, that that's going to be the kind of the cheapest value option for them as a business. But actually, you're no more expensive probably than a Premier Inn on a night kind of rate basis. I wouldn't imagine. There's not going to be much in it.
No, I think it all depends on which location you are, how busy the market is, obviously.
Right,
but,
yeah.
you know, we work very close together with all the hotels in our area, whether that's, you know, whatever brand they are. All in the same boat, ultimately, and part of the same Kent family.
But if you're a business, if you've got people, and I used to travel a lot on business in the UK, if you've got people who are on the road traveling a lot, surely it would make sense as a business to tie your business in with a business like the Mercure or Accor.
Oh, I think people do.
And actually use the benefits on the back of that, you know, as a kind of a staff incentive or whatever it might be.
Mm. Yeah, we do corporate rates, whether it's on a national basis or just local. So we've got companies in Kent who use us for accommodation and they've got a fixed rate. But also you can do that on a national basis where you get discounts in the various groups and the different brands we have. So for a business, it makes it so much easier because then you've got one code and you can just book it.
I get, as it happened, my nephew used to be a business development manager for a chain of hotels that did corporate stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a no-brainer, and I'm sure Mercure are no different to anyone else. You offer fixed rates across your premises across the UK, centralised billing, so everything comes back in one bill to the business. You know, at the end of a month, you just top up all the rooms that you hired across the UK and send one giant bill and pay like that. So, yeah.
Those credit facilities where we call the Accor business account, and it's like a credit card, and you just pay, you know, including restaurant bills, conference bills, anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just have one bill to pay, and it doesn't matter whether you stayed here and with us in Brands Hatch or in Glasgow or anywhere else.
Yeah,
and does that then feed into what you're all about on a kind of a marketing positioning level? I mean, what is Mercure or Accor's marketing positioning in the marketplace? How do you like to sell yourself and what you do? What's your calling card?
So Mercure is all about the local area. So that's why in our name we always have whatever it is, you're closest to, as in we have Dartford as our place, and then we have Brands Hatch because we're right next to Brands Hatch. If you see our hotel, if you come inside, obviously you see all the mobilia from Brands Hatch, the racing.
Oh,
and it's the same in other Mercure. So wherever is the famous one in the local area, that will come back in the hotel. At the same time, we try to use local suppliers. We're not all the same. We're not all standardized, whilst other brands, like, for example, Novotel, it's probably more standardized. So there's all different characteristics.
I like the sound of that. So, because you're the general manager, I mean, we haven't we haven't actually used your job title. So you're the buck stops with you. You are the most important person in the hotel. And you have a policy of buying local wherever you can and where it makes sense to do so.
We obviously have our big national accounts where we have to, because as a group, that's what you do. But you
so
know,
toilet paper, you would just buy on a national level?
Yeah, we would, and we negotiate prices on the toilet paper, believe it or not.
But if you're having Christmas leaflets printed or something like that, which
I said sheet.
You've got autonomy to kind of use the budget locally
and any
as you
local
choose.
Promotions, local marketing. We have that. I can decide upon that.
And we're, actually, we're a good example of that, probably, aren't we?
Cause, yeah, definitely. Know, like we're on supplier business. And, and that's great with Mercure because it allows you to put
that's
your own
really,
stamp on things.
That's great
you know?
To hear, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah.
I
think it's a lesson that Mercure learned. I mean, over in Maidstone, you got the Mercure Great Danes Hotel. And when the hotel was owned by other chains previously, they kept changing the name and everybody objected and just ignored them, and everybody kept calling the hotel Great Danes.
Yeah,
because everybody had known it as the Great Danes for 100 years.
They're still there, by the way.
No,
the Great Danes. There's a statue outside. Of them.
Yeah, well, one of them, somebody beheaded one of them.
Have you ever had a Great Dane?
No, hold on, but let me finish what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
But when Mercure took over the Great Danes, they re-established the name. They put the name back, and it's the Mercure Great Danes Hotel, which, you know, gives it its local flavour and puts it back into the local community.
No, ignore that. I'm not going to go down that road.
Oh, you're not? Just while we're talking, I've had a tweet from Jules that says it's not lard, it's duck fat.
She has a point.
Yeah, true. No, that's why I can't ever find it.
I really like the sound of that, but I guess depending on where you are, you struggle to kind of find that local identity because, you know, you're not in all the glamorous places like, you know, not everywhere is a Brands Hatch or, you know.
Oh, there's always something.
Is there always something?
Yeah,
brilliant.
Definitely. Okay. I think all the Mercures are in, you know, locations where either, you know, they're in a city or, you know, whether they're...
Give me one of the more obscure ones. So, you know, you've got a hotel, I don't know, in the Outer Hebrides, and you've linked it into, I don't know, a local theme for, I don't know, tartan or something like that. I don't know.
That would be Vikings, mate. That would be Vikings.
Yeah. So give me one of the more obscure ones where you've got a hotel. Where is your most remote hotel in the UK?
Well, most of our hotel, in all fairness, our hotel's pretty remote. We've got a hotel in Warwickshire, which is Walton Hall. But the hall is known as Walton Hall. So that's, I mean, it's a stately home. It's, I don't even know how many hundreds of years old.
Wow.
All separate buildings. Mm. It's got a great hall. It's amazing.
I bet it's got a golf course.
No, well, they could easily fit one, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
But, a lot of grounds,
Right, okay. That's a good example. So it's a stately home that you've kind of converted into a hotel, and you've retained all of that feel, obviously.
Yeah, and when they refurbish, and they're very good at that, they always try to bring back all the old features and to keep it all in keeping with the local area.
Right.
Karen, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me.
Been a pleasure talking
to
you.
It's really fascinating, isn't it? Especially
about
the local
Mercure Brands Hatch Hotel. Yeah. It's a fantastic place. Do get along and visit there if you get the chance. If you're looking for somewhere to hold an event, it's a great place to do it. For the moment, Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do stay with us for the remainder of the show.
I will.
Thank you for helping us make it so easy to talk about the C word. Today.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it's never easy.
Festive celebrations.
It's never easy talking about Christmas, is it? So in September.
98 days. You need to get ready.
98 days. That's it. That's how I'm going to think of Christmas from now on.
Yeah.
Thanks, Karen.
Although you're from Holland, yeah?
I am. Yes.
Yeah. But do you guys celebrate December the 5th?
We do.
St. Nicholas Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
A bit controversial, but
yeah.
We shall not discuss that on the radio.
Yeah. Absolutely. but okay. No. Cool. I once spent because in Germany they do the same and
Christmas Eve. Yeah.
No. December the 5th, St. Nicholas Day, and I spent time in Munich. Where they were very heavily into St. Nicholas Day.
But when I lived there, we used to open all our presents the day before on Christmas Eve.
Right.
rather than
in Germany.
In Germany, yeah. it's done a day before. So.
Yeah, I mean, in Holland we don't even do presents on Christmas. Right. We do all the presents on the 5th.
On the 5th. Yeah. Interesting.
Which is why I was saying. Yeah. Absolutely, Karen. Thank you so much for that.
No, thank you.
Really brilliant. We need to crack on because we've got another guest to talk to, and we've got some more emails and tweets, and we're fast running out of time, Martin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm all out of emails.
Well, I've got loads.
Go on then.
No, well, I'm going to read one, and then we really need to talk to Peter because he's much more interesting. Mm. he's certainly more interesting than you, Martin. Anyway.
Oh, well, there you go again. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
don't speak ill of my brother.
I need to tell you about this. The Business Bunker radio show partners with the University of Kent Business School, and the Business School are trying to reach out and make links with the small, medium size business community locally, and they're running a whole series of free events called Business Soundbite, and the next one is taking place on the 23rd of October. It's actually a rerun because it was due to take place on the day that England qualified for the World Cup quarterfinals, so nobody went, so they've kind of rescheduled it. It's the Business Soundbites. It's called the Curiosity Cost, and they're discussing creativity and curiosity. It's a completely free event, and it's taking place at the Turner Contemporary Gallery in Margate on the 23rd of October. If you want to find out details about it and to book your free place, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS, you will find all the details there. And after the 23rd of October, their next event is on the 21st of November, Man and Machine, The End of an Era, Are Robots Taking Over the Workplace? And that's actually going to take place on the campus at the University of Kent at the Sibson Building at the Kent Business School on the Canterbury campus. And again, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS to find out all the details about that.
Cool. Well, I've got lots of tweets coming in.
Well, I'd much rather talk to Peter, to be honest.
Well, let's do that.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Talk to me about that Alexa tweet. I can see somebody sent a picture of an Alexa.
Well, that was Jules. Jules said that Alexa turned off halfway through me bantering about something. It obviously objected to what I was saying, so typical throwing a wobbly.
I think the Alexa experiment has failed miserably, it's safe to say.
Only in her house.
You read it out wrong. Jules's isn't even working. So
no, it was working, and it just stopped partway through.
Alice and I, with our good old-fashioned bricks for laptops, we're okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pete.
Yes,
Pete Bresser.
I couldn't survive without a bit of tech.
No, you're another early adopter, aren't you?
I am.
Well,
yeah.
I guess you need to in your line
of work,
don't you?
Photography's gone since photography changed over to digital. Really, about I think seriously about 10, 15 years ago, it's made a huge, huge difference to the way that you work. In the good old days with an analog camera, you know, you used to load cassettes of 12 cassettes of film that would take 12 images, and then
let me correct you there. I used to load cassettes of 12 that didn't take any images because I normally loaded them upside down.
Yes, you could do that. I used to but this is how much of a geek I am. I used to wind my own films, so this is in the good old days.
You go, you're useless.
It's not quite the same as winding them up. I used to have I used to buy my film in bulk, and then I used to be able to take the old cassettes apart and reuse them, and I used to load them up in 12. So the idea behind that is that it's more efficient to run a set of 12 than it is a 24 or 36, because you could go to an event and not use all the film. Whereas if you take a 12, you can go, well, I can always load up another roll of 12. So that's how we do it. But what it meant was, when you went to an event, you were severely limited by the number of films that you would actually take and how many shots you would take. So if you go to an event, let's take a wedding as an event. It's very common through until the age of digital to only take 36 shots overall. My own wedding, I had to almost
you photographed your own wedding?
No. I appointed a photographer. So this is absolutely true. I appointed the photographer, and the photographer says, well, my standard package is I do 24 shots and 20 go into an album. And I went, that's no good. I want 24 in the album. And he went, well, that doesn't give him any room for any mistakes. I said, well, shoot another roll of 12. And he blanched because I'd asked for more. I got what I wanted, which is great. But again, 24 images for a whole day wedding. You don't get that these days. So I do a wedding now, it's quite common to do 1,000 photographs.
Yeah. But that's all professional photography, isn't it? Because most of us will be used to a 35mm film with a traditional camera that we then, we take the film to Boots or whoever, they develop it for us and we get our pictures back and...
Or somebody else's
and
pictures.
You, and then you peel all the little stickers off and saying this was technically incorrect.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, there's still a lot of that.
I mean, it's phones, isn't it? I mean...
It's phenomenal. And the cameras on the phones are... amazing. They're still not quite as good as a dedicated camera, but there's no question about it, the images you get on a mobile phone now are amazing quality, and of course you've got the capacity there to hold thousands of images, and even if you run out of space on your device, they're normally backed up by the cloud, so you can do it through through Apple's iCloud, or you do it through Google Photos, so you've got that capability of holding all that information.
But I remember when you wrote us your first blog, we broached that subject, didn't we? Because regardless of the equipment you've got, that doesn't mean you're necessarily qualified to take a good picture.
No.
And these kind of selfie-style kind of photos that a lot of people take when they're in their underwear or whatever, that they then post on their social media profiles.
It's a very
good
point.
Just don't cut it, do they?
No, they don't. And one of the reasons is that although the technology inside the phone is very good at capturing an image, the lens in it doesn't lend itself well to a photograph you take of yourself at arm's length. But I started to look at that and think, well, why is it people don't understand the capabilities of this, of these types of devices? And I started to think, well, maybe what we need to be doing is telling people more about how you use the equipment that you've got. So just having a phone, I mean, the best camera you can have is the one that's on you. And by far the most popular device is the camera. Is the phone with the camera on it. So the thing is to say, well, how do I make the best of that? So, in fact, I'm running a workshop on the 29th of this month, free of charge, and I'm going to be talking a bit about that. It won't be about the camera. It won't be about the technology. It'll be about the composition. It'll be about understanding the light and so on. So that's one of the things that I'm keen to get people to understand is take photographs, don't worry about the camera, use the camera that you've got, but just understand more about how you use it to get the best results.
These little things have fundamentally changed the way that we take pictures. That's the reality, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
But phone cameras can be dangerous. If you look at my left hand at the moment, okay?
Yes.
That is as a result of a phone camera injury.
Is that right?
It is indeed. I bought a new phone. I bought an iPhone 7 Plus. I put it in my phone holder. I went to take a picture the other day, and there's a big black thing over it because the hole in my folder doesn't quite fit. So I was enlarging it with a Stanley knife, and it slipped, and I put the Stanley knife through my hand.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's probably... You should have just paid for a new phone case.
I should
case.
Have done. But it was £7, though, Peter. Yeah.
Always an eye on the money.
Yeah.
I don't even take a camera on holiday anymore. I mean, I've always... You know, wherever I've gone on holiday, I've always had a camera because I like to have the memories of the holiday. But that's, now, that's I only true. Take... I just take my mobile phone.
This year...
I wanted to ask a question and kind of make a statement at the same time, and you're going to tell me I'm talking nonsense, but it strikes me when you start to think about this kind of thing as a professional photographer, because everyone has a camera on them now, which was just unheard of 20 years ago, so people take lots of pictures all the time. But from my point of view, I think that's a benefit to professional photographers more than anything, because what we've done, we've engendered a photo culture.
That's absolutely
is that true?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things is that because... So the issue is that people look at the photos they've got on their camera phone, and they usually it's, you know, it's the bouncing baby on the knee, or it's grandma, you know, blowing out the candles on the cake, and that's fine. And those and that really hasn't changed significantly from the old days when you got an Instamatic camera, you take it to your birthday party, take a few snaps, and you get that developed. Ultimately, I think that's how these phone cameras work. They've replaced the Instamatic, if you like.
Yeah.
But what's happened is because we're now living in a world which is almost entirely visual.
Image-driven.
We're driven completely. We don't have the patience or the time to read stuff. Mm. It's much better to look at an image or look at a video and go, I've got the story from that. And that's, we're being pushed further and further towards that that kind of environment. And that means that as a professional photographer, one of the things we can do is to think about how we encapsulate a story in a single image.
Mm.
And if you can do that, maybe there's a place where video would become less important.
Yeah, absolutely.
I absolutely believe that you can capture a whole story in a single image. And that means that when you view it, it'll take you... You might take a story away from that within a few milliseconds.
Mm.
Certainly, if you take a photograph of a person and show that on a website or on a LinkedIn profile or whatever, the person that's viewing that image will make an assumption of that person, that avatar, within 50 milliseconds. Mm. 50 milliseconds. If you show that to them for 100 milliseconds, they'll actually have a better than average chance of guessing that person's sexuality.
Mm.
We get incredible amounts of information from photographs because, as well as the image itself, there's a certain amount of non-verbal communication going on there, and we pick up on that even though it's just a 2D image.
I mean, that bit of black spandex you're wearing on your wrist, for example, I find extremely disconcerting.
You're not liking this, are you?
If you ever appeared in a photo with that on, it would just put me right off.
I thought he was doing an Alvin Stardust impersonation. That's probably a bit... A lot of people might not understand that.
Yeah, no. I'm even before that. I was a bit more Black Panther.
We're going to need a picture of that, Paul, for the listeners today, I think.
I have... This is also a phone-related injury, because I have RSI through holding my phone all night while I'm typing on it. I actually have an RSI injury.
That up for me. And I need to see the plaster as well. That's it. And the wristwatch, because the whole thing combined.
You can't do both.
It's just pure class. I love it.
I think it's going to be a trend.
Yeah, this is
trending. Yeah,
that's a really good point, though, Pete, about that, because if you look at social media today, everybody seems to have jumped on the video bandwagon.
Yeah,
the number of videos I see now being posted on LinkedIn. And it doesn't matter whether you think they're well produced or poorly produced. The fact is that everybody seems to be using it, and actually, it's almost becoming a turnoff.
Although there's an issue with video on social media, which is you can't tag people into videos, but you can into photographs.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I think there's the other thing about video is that I always find that video always takes too long to get through, because I'm always going, get to the good stuff, get to the good stuff. So I tend to, when I play a YouTube video, if it's somebody talking, I play it double speed.
Mm.
So I can normally make it's intelligible, just about, and when they get to the good stuff, I'll go back to something else. But people are using video in a way that is not really conducive to getting more information. Because all of things, video, all visual media, what you're trying to do is create an emotional connection. So if your video doesn't make an emotional connection because you're going, hello, my name is Joe Bloggs, who the heck wants to listen to that? I don't.
But for me, there seems to be a trend to making these really fast-paced videos now, which are totally in your face, and you're like, my God, what did he even say? Yeah. He's speaking so fast and trying to cram so much information in. And that has the same effect for me.
Sorry, I want to come back to pure photography.
Yeah.
Because there's some issues I want to talk about here. Now, quite clearly, I don't need this, what I'm about to say, because, I'm just beautiful. But...
You are, yeah.
Yes. Come on.
You're like a god. Maybe.
Yeah. Exactly, Adonis.
An Adonis,
But this use of things like Photoshop, where do you stand on that, Pete? I mean... How do you, as a professional photographer, how do you see enhancement tools like Photoshop?
So, think about... So, I use Photoshop.
Mm.
I don't use it a huge amount, but For portrait photography, I do use it. I quite often use it for doing things like softening the skin.
Yep.
It becomes more attractive that way. Yep. If somebody has got
you remove face, his boils and stuff like that.
That's the kind of thing we get rid of that. And so the point about it is anything that's temporary, like a zit on the end of your nose, we get rid of that kind of thing because you wouldn't be seen like that in 2 weeks after the photograph is taken.
Absolutely.
Now I might do some things like soften the skin, remove a few wrinkles, because you're trying to make that person as attractive as you can for that use. I mean, I quite often use those techniques for LinkedIn profiles because you're trying to that image, that avatar, is your stand-in online. So if somebody's never met you before, what you want to be able to go is they want them to view that image and go, oh yes, I could do business with that person.
But you've got to look like the finished image, Paul. So in your case, there's no point even going.
And that's the flip side. So I have done that. So I did a few years
ago. People know you as you are. Let's put it that way.
People do say to me, oh God, Pete, can you really just like really put some Photoshop on there just to make me look
You're going to close this down in a minute, and we haven't talked about the C word. We need to talk about the C word.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
About these photographs. I was at an event the other night, and there were three of us speaking, two ladies and myself. And they have photographs of the three of us up behind us on the wall. And both the ladies got up and went, oh, really sorry about that. The photograph's really old. It's from a couple of years ago. So when I get up, I went, my photograph is from next year.
Yes. I think women typically are more sensitive to their visual image than men. So I do tend to put a little bit more effort into making sure that they're happy with the final image. But you can't go too far, because if you make them look as if they're made of plastic, then it's
counterproductive.
It is. It just looks fake. Yeah. We're trying to get away from fake. We're trying to be as real as possible.
Now, you've just written us another brilliant blog, which is all about actually having spent all this money on a brilliant Christmas party and had a great time at the Mercure. What are you actually going to do with all of that after the event?
So I got thinking about why you would want a photographer at an event, okay? And there are two main reasons. Is that you don't want staff taking photographs at an event, at a business event, because that then puts a barrier between that staff member and the people that you've invited, okay? Mm. Why would you want to do that? Mm. You want your staff to engage with people, get them involved, get something happening, build that relationship. Having a photographer at an event like that means you can do that and, you know, let them get on with taking photographs of people interacting. That's a good way. If you take the Christmas party, it's a similar kind of thing. What you're trying to do is show how people have got that relationship together. So whether they're in the, you know, the post room office to the boardroom, if they're there having a jig about in the, you know, on the dance floor, show that, have that, capture that kind of image. So that, and the main reason is it's not because of the event itself. It's not because of the Christmas party. That's fine. That's great. You've done that. You've paid for the food. You've paid for the drink. You've got people there. They've all had a great time. They go off and have their Christmas break. The real benefit of these images is when you come back in January and you've got 3 to 4 months before there's another holiday. Mm. You're going to work in the dark. You're coming home in the dark. Mm. It's dank, dreary weather. Morales are low.
Colleague in the radio studio is getting on your nerves.
Why you work together. Yeah. So that's the time that you use that kind of all those images to, you know, to boost the morale within that business. Get people together and go. So most companies have got an intranet site or some kind of internal memo system. Mm. Share those images. Mm. Get them to go, you do work well together. You do have fun together. Mm. This is, do you remember when you did this? Mm. So you can use that.
That's a brilliant idea. I mean, I've never had that. I've never, you know, no business I've ever worked in has ever done that. I guess maybe at best they've had a kind of collage on a notice board somewhere that...
And that, I mean, even if it's that, even if you go back in January and you've got a great big board up and showing all the Christmas party photos all printed out, you know, put that there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you can do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, why not do, there's always a couple of funnies. Mm-hmm. So pick a couple of funnies and go, let's have a caption competition. Let's get people commenting, get that relationship built again.
That's team engagement, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
It's exactly that. The whole reason why you have a Christmas party in the to begin with company party is to get people pulled together, making them work together.
Can I ask you a question? Mm. And you might not like this,
I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I was at an event the other day, fairly similar. There was a professional photographer there taking pictures of the event. Great photographer, great pictures, all the rest of it. I'm so used now to seeing things immediately on social media. I haven't really come across professional photographers that post things real time to social media. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens to me is I go, oh, he's taken, you know, they'll even show you, look, I've just taken a great shot of you. Go, oh, I love it. And then you don't see it for like a week, by which time the whole thing's gone and I don't care anymore. What's your thoughts and feelings on that, Pete?
Okay. Well, most of the modern cameras now do have a Wi-Fi connection. So you can actually make a connection from a dedicated camera back through to a cell phone.
Yeah.
So what I tend to do for most events that I do is take a few images, early images, do a very light edit on them, and then squirt them over to the organizer, or I might put some stuff up onto social media directly with a hashtag for the event. Poor people, so you've got something that's immediate. Because you're right, is, you know, you need that, the impetus is on providing something immediate for that event. But there's always been ways of doing that. In the, even in the analog days, they would, you know, with boxing matches, football matches, they would get the film. So that's why they did the roll of 12, take the roll of 12, that's then out the camera, given to a runner, he takes it, gets it developed, and it goes up to the newspaper straight away. Bosh, it's ready for the first edition. With modern cameras now, because they, even without the Wi-Fi connection, because they've got an SD card in most times, you can take that out, put it into a laptop
or something,
you,
mm-hmm.
and you just edit that and quickly squared it back up. So there are ways of doing it.
Cool. Pete, fascinating topic. Thank you so much for that.
Thank
We've kind of run out of time now.
Just remind us again, the workshop is
29th of September, 10:30. It's a Saturday morning. It's free of charge. It's going to be at the Coach House studio at Farningham. I'd love to see people there. We're going to have a great time talking about composition, light, how to get more out of the camera that you're using.
And how do we get in touch with you to book on for that?
So you can do that if you email me at pete@bressafotos.com. Send me an email there. I have got it up as an Eventbrite link.
And you're on the Twitter at Bressa Photos?
All my social media is based on the name. So it's at Bressa Photos for Twitter. You're on Facebook, you'll find me on. And I basically, my name, Pete Bressa, I own the first three pages of Google. So if you remember nothing else, just remember Pete Bressa, you'll find me.
Fantastic. Pete, thank you so much for that.
Pleasure.
Absolutely brilliant. I've really got to rush through a couple of things now. The 3030 Business in Schools program, help us bridge the gap between school and business. We're looking for business owners, managers, people to join us at the next event, which is at the Rootham School on the 21st of September. You can find out all about it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/3030.
Can I just say, Alison from the FSB has just tweeted in again. She says, hashtag BBunker, really good to hear at Mercure, Dartford, Brands Hatch are doing their best to buy locally. So thumbs
Thank
up, Corinne. Everybody supports you on that level. Well done.
Fantastic. And just to remind you that our sister show, The Business Bunker Extra Show, is on Friday at 11 o'clock, presented by Amanda Flanders. And this week, Amanda's co-host is Richard Bell, who's a security expert and co-host. And their guest is Neil Shorthouse from Shorthouse Hospitality. So do listen to that, 11 o'clock on Friday here on bizradio.co.uk, the Business Bunker Extra Show. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to today's show guests, the lovely Vicky Thurley from Kent Space, Karen Snook from General Manager of the Mercure Dartford Brands Hatch Hotel,
and
Pete Bresser.
And Spa.
And Spa, thank you. Pete Bresser from Bresser Photographers.
Press photos
and digital media.
Yeah, well, depends on anybody we put. I'll answer to anything.
So many different names. Today.
And him, Martin. We'll be back next week. Yeah. Have a fantastic week. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Radio.